Massachusetts is teaming up with New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut in a nationwide competition to become one of four hydrogen hubs. It's part of a $9.5 billion federal program designed to bring down the cost of producing hydrogen as a climate-friendly fuel and scale up industries to use it. This morning, in the first of three stories, WBUR's Bruce Gellerman reports on the hype and hopes of developing a green hydrogen economy.
150 years ago, Jules Verne captured the world's imagination with his science fiction novel Mysterious Island, continuing the journey of the Nautilus submarine.
I'm Captain Nemo. Welcome to my island.
Verne wrote that water will one day be employed as fuel, that the separated elements, hydrogen and oxygen, quote, will furnish an inexhaustible source of heat and light of an intensity of which coal is not capable. Pure hydrogen is a powerful energy source, and it is the most abundant element in the universe. And over the decades, the dream of harnessing hydrogen to transform the world's economy has persisted in the hearts and minds of scientists and politicians.
And the term in the communication studies literature and psychology is they came to a symbolic convergence.
Benjamin Sovacool, director of Boston University's Institute for Sustainable Energy, is the author of the book Visions of Energy Futures.
Symbols, ideology, values, and language all coalesced around this miraculous vision of what a hydrogen economy would do. And fantasy itself was very, very real, and it was very effective at shaping funding patterns and at shaping even scientific discourse.
Sovacool recalls President George W. Bush's 2003 State of the Union address.
Tonight I'm proposing $1.2 billion in research funding, so that America can lead the world in developing clean, hydrogen-powered automobiles.
Whenever anyone talks about a hydrogen economy, they'll usually say things like, well, and its only output is water.
A simple chemical reaction between hydrogen and oxygen generates energy, which can be used to power a car, producing only water, not exhaust fumes.
Chances are you're not driving a hydrogen-powered car. At least, not yet. There are several good reasons. On Earth, most hydrogen is chemically bonded to oxygen to form water, or attached to carbon to make fossil fuels. Splitting off the hydrogen is energy-intensive and inefficient, and the procedure most often used emits a lot of climate-disrupting gas. Sovacool says scientists have color-coded hydrogen according to the kinds of energy used in the separation process.
There's gray and black, which is fossil fuel. There's blue, which comes from natural gas. There's green, which comes from renewables. And there's pink, which comes from nuclear power.
Most of the hydrogen we separate today is black. Green is the kind you want. It splits water into H2O using electricity generated by renewable solar and wind power. But until recently, it wasn't practical or profitable to make large amounts of green hydrogen. Scientists at the Newton-based R&D company Giner Inc. have been working at it for 50 years.
We operate at the frontiers of electrochemical technologies, pushing the envelope. We're actually best in the world at that.
Andy Belt is Giner's CEO. He says the company has been perfecting the technology to split water efficiently. It's a process known as electrolysis. It's done in a device called an electrolyzer.
In the guts of the electrolyzer, where the magic happens, you combine water with electricity and you break the bonds of water and out comes hydrogen and oxygen. And that's the magic that goes on in the center of an electrolyzer.
Inside the devices are thin membranes coated with precious metals. They enable the electrochemistry magic to work. Low-cost wind and solar electricity make the process green.
Because of advances in renewable energy, because of the advances in electrolysis technologies, it's absolutely feasible to see within 10 years that we could have a massive piece of the energy infrastructure based on green hydrogen.
Belt says producing green hydrogen is becoming more cost-effective as the price of generating electricity from solar and wind declines. Today, in many places, the renewable energies are cheaper than burning natural gas and coal.
So if I can buy electricity at 2 cents per kilowatt hour and make hydrogen with my electrolyzer, the cost of the electricity to make a kilogram of hydrogen is now a buck or less.
And that's one of the Department of Energy's goals. Cut the cost of separating hydrogen by 80% in a decade. It would make the price of energy from hydrogen equal to gas selling at about a dollar a gallon. Boston University's Benjamin Sovacool says that price doesn't even consider the hidden costs of burning fossil fuels on the climate and human health.
You start pricing coal accurately, hydrogen's much more competitive. You start pricing things like oil more competitively, hydrogen and renewables are all more competitive. Energy's cost does not match its price.
Sovacool still has doubts about the future of a green hydrogen economy, but he's cautiously hopeful the proposed federal hydrogen hub program could work.
I'm slightly skeptical, but I think there's a lot more rationality for hydrogen here. If the government were to continue to create the right policy architecture, hydrogen transitions could very much occur in the next 10 or 15 years. They won't happen by themselves in the market, but if they had the right sort of incentives and policy, I could see it happening.
For a century and a half, the green hydrogen economy has been predicted by novelists, hyped by politicians and some scientists. But as the global climate crisis worsens, the technology advances, and the U.S. isn't alone in its ambitions. China, Saudi Arabia, and many other countries are investing billions in using renewable energy to produce green hydrogen, and perhaps generating real hope for the future, a future imagined long ago by Jules Verne. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gelderman.